When should governments bail out financial institutions?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Adrienne Hill, in for Jeremy Hobson. First, the latest from Greece this morning, where the country's finance minister says it won't be able to reduce its deficit as much as it promised. The country is now looking to lay off 30,000 government employees. And European finance ministers are meeting today to discuss bailout options. Today is also the third anniversary of the Troubled Asset Relief Program, or TARP, here in the U.S. That's a program that helps shore up banks deemed too big to fail. Tim Massett heads TARP in his role as Assistant Secretary for Financial Stability at the U.S. Treasury Department. He joins us now from Washington. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
What lessons are there from Europe today from the TARP program of 3 years ago?
Well, I think their problems are specific to their situation, and they'll figure out the best way to solve them. But I think what we learned in the U.S. was that we needed to act quickly and with great force. That's critical in a crisis. So we took a number of actions. It wasn't just TARP. It was the actions that the FDIC took and the Federal Reserve took. And the combination of all those was critical to stopping the panic.
Now, there are protesters today, as you know, in New York and now around the country, frustrated by government support of financial institutions, among other things. What do you say to them?
Well, I would say, first of all, that it was unfair that we had to use tax dollars to prevent this crisis. But it would have been more unfair not to act, and that's why we acted. And since then, we have put in place a number of reforms through the Dodd-Frank Wall Street Reform and Consumer Protection Act so that we don't face this sort of situation again. But fundamentally, we still have a lot of work to do to get our economy growing and to restore jobs that we lost as a result of this crisis and the recession.
Tim Massett heads TARP in his role as Assistant Secretary for Financial Stability at the U.S. Treasury Department. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
The Greek news is pulling markets around the world down this morning, which means we've got to cue the sad music as we do the numbers. The market in Hong Kong is off more than 4%. The FTSE is down 1.5% today. Last week, the Dow finished its worst quarter since the financial crisis. But there's fun news in the world today, too.
Tell me the truth, okay? Because there's been a lot of lying in this family.
And a lot of love.
Truth here, the TV show Arrested Development is coming back. If you're unfamiliar, it's a Fox show about a mixed-up family, a failed real estate development company, and a frozen banana stand. Critics loved it. The show had adoring fans, but ratings were only so-so. It was canceled after 3 seasons. Now the show's creators say they're planning to shoot 10 or so new shows leading up to a movie. There's no release date yet, but they are hoping to start shooting the TV show next summer. And a little news you can use. Bookseller Barnes & Noble has purchased the customer list from the now-closed Borders. That means Barnes & Noble will also have access to the purchasing history of Borders customers. Think it's creepy? You have until the end of the month to opt out. Find out how on our website at marketplace.org.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. By CenturyLink, a new kind of broadband company linking Americans coast to coast with consistently fast speeds and personal service. More at CenturyLink.com. And by Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the internet. Reputation.com.
Today, growers of pistachios are voting on whether to increase industry oversight. The thinking is it can make those little green nuts more attractive to overseas importers and expand the market for pistachios everywhere. Jennifer Collins reports on the little nut that cracked its way into a billion-dollar industry.
Horizon Nut Company in California's Central Valley hulls, cleans, and sorts almost 10% of the U.S. pistachio crop every year.
What we're looking for is an unstained, as bright a white or cream-colored shell as possible.
J.D. Franklin is the head of operations. Every so often, he does his own quality control checks.
Heavenly.
That heavenly taste can take at least 6 years. But when the trees mature, they produce for decades. Jim Zion of a grower cooperative says that's attracted unlikely financial backers.
The stock market obviously is not a place to go, and so you have seen some retirement funds coming in.
And partly that's because
the return on pistachios has been quite good.
Bob Klein oversees pistachio production in the U.S. By some accounts, investors can triple their money in 20 years. Klein says those returns have created a nutty situation with the largest processor in the industry, Paramount Farms. Maybe you've heard its tagline.
Get cracking.
Klein says Paramount split from a trade group a few years ago over marketing disagreements.
The large processor said, well, we pay the bulk of the assessments, so we should have more say than we currently have.
Now, Paramount pays the bulk of the advertising, reportedly $30 million a year. This fall, the smaller producers ramp up their own campaign. They spend about $5 million on promotions here and overseas.
Each side would say that the other ones are irrational and illogical.
But Klein says that rivalry may be a good thing in the long run.
Anything that puts pistachios in people's minds will make them more likely to buy.
And with the crop potentially doubling in a few years, he says there's about to be a lot more pistachios for people to buy. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
And finally, the Kennel Club in the UK has suspended plans to test show dogs for banned substances. We're not talking about puppy steroids here. At issue, grooming products like hairspray. It's all about the shine, people. According to The Telegraph, at a recent show, every dog at the Kennel Club tested was positive. So the club has backed off. One opponent of the ban told the paper, limiting hairspray at dog shows is like asking Miss World to go in without her makeup on. In Los Angeles, I'm Adrienne Hill. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
If spare parts are rare but natural resources aren't, you adapt.
The customer just brings it here and we make the part here, and then he'll take it and put it back in his car, and the car keeps on working.
I'm Kai Rizdal, the wonders of wood. Next time on Marketplace, we'll have the day's business news for you as well. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.